Matt Garrett. Kanye West. Rihanna. United Center Chicago. Sold out. So, they're gonna do it again. B96 welcomes Kanye, Rihanna, and the Glow in the Dark Tour for a second show. This time on Saturday, May 24th at the UC. Listen to B96 all week to win your free tickets. Or go get them for yourself at Ticketmaster.com. Hit up B96.com for all the details. The new sound of Wild 96.7.
Crazy. Yeah.
The four states' number one hit music station.
Getting busy.
98.7. You spin my head
right round, right round. What up? This is Justin Timberlake.
Neo. Sean right there.
Their station, your station.
We on Hot 106.1.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Hit beats that hit hard. Hit it now on Hot 104.5.
Down on the dance floor. Watch this.
Hey. B96.
This.
Playing the first of at least 14 songs in a row right now. B96. Commercial free hour.
A listener question. You know the young lad. His name is Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
He, this kid's, I mean, you know, he's real young, but he definitely has some talent. He sent me his stuff. And
he's probably more aggressive than I was at his age. And you don't see that in kids today in radio. A lot of people just want to start out, you know, at the top.
They want to be Howard Stern from day one.
Or they want to be, you know, the next John Frost or whatever from day
right.
one. And this you know, guy's got a great work ethic and great young man. I think he's going to, you know, do well.
Well, that'll answer his second question. He wanted to know if you still like him.
Yeah, he's saying great.
he brings up Odyssey, though. Mm-hmm. Odyssey's something we've talked about in the past on other episodes. It's kind of an archaic mm-hmm. way to do production. It's, you know, if anyone doesn't know what Odyssey is, it's a standalone digital / you know, software and hardware component that you can do multi-track editing on. Do you still use that? And did you do most of, or do you still do most of your production on Odyssey?
Still use it. I'm looking at it right now. I've got... you know, I keep collecting them. Like they say, you need at least 3 DeLoreans to keep one running.
Yeah.
So I think I've got maybe 6 systems. they all work, and I just, you know, it's like whenever I see one on eBay, or you know, just somebody will call me up and go, "Hey, I'm getting rid of it. Do you want it?" You know, I'll, you know, give them whatever they want for it, and because the parts are going to get hard to find, but you know, if you take care of it, it should last forever. So
what's your deal? Why haven't you ever moved on to Pro Tools or Audition or anything else?
Well, I use Adobe every day for recording my voice tracks that I send out.
Okay.
I found with the Orband, for me, when I assemble stuff to send to my producers and stuff like that, I do it on the Orband because you can just read into it. You can stop when you want to take a, you know, read a line again, or, and you can just send stuff without any outtakes. And for just doing, you know, quick multi-track production, I don't think there's anything faster. You know, everybody has their own, you know, somebody could be listening to this laughing going, well, you know, I can do this on, you know, Adobe or Pro Tools. And, you know, I've looked at them, and it's just, for me, I prefer to use this Orban as long as I can. So
yeah, I sincerely think nobody's laughing, because at this point, where I thought I would have guessed 95% to 99% of all producers were using either Pro Tools or Audition, I was absolutely wrong. There are a lot of people using Vegas, a lot of people using mm-hmm. Some people still using I've already forgot the name of it. It was Kelly in LA.
Yeah, well, a lot of the top guys that I've talked to or heard about, like you said, Kelly, I think they all use Saw still.
I was just gonna, it Saw 32 or Saw Plus mm-hmm. or whatever it was named back in 1963 when they invented it. So I'm blown away at the fact that people are still using a variety of different things.
Yeah, it's just all in what you're comfortable with, and
yeah,
you know, it's, you know, one's not any better than the other. It's just whatever you prefer. And, you know.
So, generally speaking, I always have this question sent in for anyone I interview that has uh-huh. anything to do with voice. But generally speaking, what can you tell me about your setup there? You know, like maybe what type of mic or what generally, what are you using?
Well, I still, you know, I have, you know, I use a 24 channel board. I know it's kind of overkill, but, you know, and certainly I don't use all 24 channels, but,
yeah,
we got a 20, you know, 24 channel board. I still use a lot of outboard effects gear.
Mm-hmm.
I use the plugins for, you know, putting reverb on a finished piece or something like that, but I prefer to always use the outboard gear. That's just,
okay.
That's just me. You know, I've got the, you know, I've without, you know, we've talked about this earlier. I don't like, you know, people are always emailing me, what do you use for a mic chain? What do you, you know, I don't like giving right. that stuff out. You know why?
Yeah.
Because I spent months and weeks in the basement and blew off family functions and weekends in the basement, just, you know, reading and fine tuning and getting, you know, driving around to different markets I've done voice work in and hearing how it reacts on the air. And, you know, spent a lot of time and effort to get it. So, you know, why just tell somebody? And what I found
sure.
is they can take the same EQ settings and attack and threshold and all that stuff and won't sound the same for them.
I was going to say that that's one thing. I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't have the Pat Garrett voice, I don't care what $80,000 mic and right. and rig you put it through, you're not going to be Pat Garrett, right?
Yeah, well, it's just everybody has a different timbre. They have a different, you know, internal EQ in their voice. So what may be, you know, I've had other VO guys talk through my stuff and that they'll have a less of a mid-range voice and it'll be too boomy for them, you know, mm-hmm. and yeah. we'll have to adjust it. So
yeah,
it really, you know, just copying somebody's settings down, it's not, you know, that's not going to help.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just know that people are interested in that stuff, but it's right. also good for people to know that you do put a lot of effort and investment in finding the sound that you have and yeah. you want to protect that.
Well, I would say that the investment has been time.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Not so much money, because this, I mean, the basic component that I use, and I just happen to like it because it's got a great gate, is the Symmetrix 528, the old one. You know.
Yeah, I have one of those to my right now.
Yeah, it's a nice and little piece. So I've tried different boxes. I wish somebody would make a box like an Avalon. So if there's any equipment guys listening, put a good gate in it. You know,
what are you saying that the Avalon? That
well, a lot of these great processors, they don't seem to come with a gate, a noise gate. And I know when you start doing, you know, VO work, like well, I guess what Chris Corley does and stuff like that, a lot yeah. of producers don't want a gate on there anyway. But for me, when I'm doing probably 80% of my business is radio voiceover and radio VO, for whatever reason, they like, you know, more processing and more EQ and all that, you find yourself needing a gate, especially when you got, you know, two computers running with fans and everything else. So
yeah, absolutely.
But
well, that's the secret tip we're going to get out of you, is that the 528 is still the gate to have.
Yeah, well, it's the most forgiving, and it doesn't clamp down too hard. You don't hear it, you know, closing like a door, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's been you know, but you know, there's other things about the 528 I hate. It's got a terrible compressor in it, and
I was just going to say
EQ's okay in it, but for the gate and just, you know, having a okay preamp, it, you know, it does the job.
Yeah, I don't use it because I don't like the compressor. I agree with you, but maybe I'll try out the gate like that. Maybe I'll play around. Good friend of the show here, a talented voice guy himself, Joey Pepin, sends a question regarding your clients. But in general, what we wanted to know is, and we've already learned a lot of this already from you, you were a lot of word of mouth, but I'm sure you still, you're represented, it's on your website. Mm-hmm. You're with CESD, right?
Right.
Yeah. What percentage of your work, the new business that you get, are you getting through an agent, or what are you getting through word of mouth? So someone like you in your position.
Well, I think I have a great agent in Nate Zeitz.
He's kind of the guy, right, when it comes to radio imaging agents?
He's turned into he is the guy now to go yeah. to. I mean, you know, we started out, I guess in 2003, he called me one day, and I for radio, I, at that time, I thought I didn't need an agent because I was, you know, on a, over 100 stations at that time without an agent. But he convinced me soon on that, you know what, it's a good thing. And so he represents me for everything now, for radio and TV promos and stuff like that.
Cool. What would you say divides your day? People are interested in what your day looks like. I know you do a lot of radio imaging, voice, but you know that, let's say, versus other VO you do, because you do promo work for local and other TV, commercial work, that kind of thing. What are your percentages?
Well, I would say, you know, 80 to 90% of my day is doing radio imaging. I have a handful of TV affiliates that I work with. And, you know, when they're in sweeps, they keep you busy. But pretty much, you know, when they're not in sweeps, it's maybe, you know, a couple things a day here and there from TV. But radio primarily keeps me busy. I do some spots, you know, for you know, people call me, like some of the radio stations I work with will, you know, the advertisers will call. We want the guy that does the drops to do to do our club spot. So I do a lot of that stuff from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily, you know, it's, you know, I'm a radio imaging guy first and foremost.
And are you proud of that fact? Do you have, you know, desires to not be that, to move on to something else? Or are you really where you want to be as far as that world goes?
Well, I mean, I've carved out a nice niche for myself. I mean, I you know, it's great. But I think with any VO person, they don't want to be... you know, they want to try different things. They, you know, and I think that's just a smart, you know, being a smart business person first would be to just say, I'm open to doing other things. It's, you know, it's probably that time will come when it comes, you know, and a lot of the, you know, some of the guys will probably get a kick out of this. A lot of the stuff that makes me good at doing radio imaging is not good for doing, you know, the promo work for, you know, like movie trailer stuff, because you sound like a radio guy. So
yeah, it's true. I guess I was kind of wondering about that, if the fact that you are so good at what you do as far as the radio imaging goes, if that's actually, do you think if it's hurt you in other realms of VO?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, you gotta it's like trying, if you're right-handed writing with, you know, you gotta learn to write with your left hand.
Yeah.
And what I found is I do much better with those auditions and get stuff when I don't even wear the headphones. Just take it off and don't listen to yourself. And so that's, you know, stuff I'm constantly working on and trying to, you know, perfect. And in that world, you know, they don't want any processing. They don't want any compression and EQ or gate. So it's just, it's a totally different thing. And the guys that are doing it, like Chris Corley, and doing it well, my hat's off to them, because, you know, it's... I know how demanding and how tough these auditions are to get, and, you know, so guys that are doing that, I'm very impressed with.
And that kind of leads me to coaching is something that people always want to know about, and I think they want to know how everybody utilizes it. Have you had voiceover coaches or even acting coaches or whatnot in the past? Do you still utilize that service?
You know what? I've never done any coaching, and that's something I need to do. My guy, Agent Nate, he's always a big proponent of that, and he's always nagging me to do it. The problem is getting the time to do it when you're trying to keep up with, you know, all this, the copy that comes in, you know.
How much time off can you take at one time? I mean, can you take a week off? Is that even possible?
No, never.
Can you take a day off?
It better be for a good reason. You know, I could take a day off. It just depends, you know, but if I take a day off, the next day will be a clusterfuck. I'll be backed up for, you know.
Yeah. So how many hours in a day are you going now then?
Well, I, you know, usually get up, just get started around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you know, and go till 6, 7 o'clock, you know, on and off. It's not, you know, constant, but, you know, I'm kind of close to the house. I don't, you know, go out and,
yeah,
you know, which for me, then at the end of the day, when I'm all done and caught up, the last place I want to be is at the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine.
So, but, you know, I probably will take a week vacation once a year. If I had it my way, I wouldn't take a vacation because it just causes too many problems getting everybody in line. But, you know.
Yeah, can you even relax? I mean, if you went away for a week, you're just sitting there knowing that you're going to have, you know, double the work when you get back.
Well, usually what I do is we send out a notice and you get, you know, you're going to get a double the work going in. And then when you get back, it's usually not, you know, there's a few days of just heavy catch up. But,
yeah,
you know, that's the business. You know, I'm not going to sit here and knock it because it, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't be qualified to do anything else, you know, so.
you know, I keep thinking of things. I was really going to wrap this up, but let me ask you one more thing.
Sure.
That I'm not certain if I've ever asked anyone else before, and I don't know why, because maybe I'm a bad interviewer. Do you do anything for your voice? You know, drink lemon tea, or do you have any routine that you got going to keep that voice in real prime condition?
Crown Royal on the rocks.
Well, that's what I would have expected.
That's. I mean, you know, I've never been a smoker, so that hasn't been a problem. And no, there's nothing really, you know, that you know, keeps, you know, I mean, every once in a while, I guess people will get a cold or whatever. I've been fortunate that I never really seemed, I got a cold maybe once a year.
Yeah.
And that's usually if I, you know, I'm hanging out at my brother's house and they got small kids and, you know, you just can't help but get it. But my daughter is just about 18 now. So, you know, when she was in daycare and stuff like that, you know, you would always catch what they catch. And, you know, that was tough early on. But and you have to work, you know, you still have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one program director, my voice was just totally shot. It just sounded terrible. And I'm like, I can't do it. I mean, he goes, I know it's going to suck. Just do it. I need it. I'm like, all right. You know, and then he called back. He goes, you're right. It is terrible. Take some time off.
So, you know? Yeah. So I'll get this again in 3 days.
Yeah. And that was, you know, that was pretty much just right when the internet, MP3ing stuff in the early, late 90s, 2000s, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's been, you know, interesting. There was a time, I remember, you'd pick up a station, but they, you know, they really couldn't afford the FedEx charges. And that's all gone away. So I think that's a lot of stations that didn't use imaging before are able to now just because there's no shipping charges with it anymore.
Yeah, I did know that about the smaller, you know, the real smaller market stations. They just simply didn't have image voices, or they just had the sales guy do it.
Or I remember having smaller clients that would just have me send it regular mail, you know, and it would get there,
well,
you know, 3 or 4 days later, and, you know, but,
yeah.
And then we were sending, you know, reels of tapes out back, and, you know, we'd send, you know, reel to reel, and... You know,
sure.
Certainly the expenses have gone down as far as materials. There's really no materials, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you pay for some web hosting.
Yeah, and you know, days. That you pay, you know, for a year, and you know.
Yeah, no, so. It's nothing. You know what? I believe I've taken up plenty of your time, and I have one final question that I ask everybody I interview. Okay. And it would be, what would be your one sole key piece of advice to any of the youngsters coming up in this business, whether it be production or voice, that you would give them now to, you know, help them become successful?
What I would say is, you know what, stay true to what you want to do. I've had a lot of guys, you know, PDs, group heads, whatever, and they just go, yeah, you know what, you're too over the top, or you're too this or too that. If you believe in it and you think, you know, it's a sound that you want to do, go ahead and do it, you know, and eventually it'll work out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. No, that's good. I've had people tell me that recently, and it, you know, I'm someone who's trying to find my way into the imaging voice world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a problem I have. I want to either be like the people that are successful, because that's the way you think you get jobs, but more and more people tell me what you just said.
Well, what's good about imaging now is it's almost, it's good. They're you know, the guys with a good, clean sound, like you, yourself, your voice talking right now over the phone, you're there.
Yeah, well, I try. I do what I can. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate your time so much. Everybody's excited that I was able to interview you, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay. All right.
Pat Garrett. 10 song wolf packs every hour. The most country music in North Texas. Show your wolf pride by listening longer to 99.5 The Wolf. Lots of fun, tons of music, plus the news, weather, and traffic info you need to start your day. More reasons to listen longer when you wake up with the Wolf. Nashville Country, 95.5 The Wolf. Here in Nashville, people are excited about winning Kenny Chesney tickets for his show at LP Field on July 5th.
Really?
Very excited.
All right.
Make that extremely excited.
Yeah.
Summertime. 99.5 The Wolf knows it's been a tough year for all of us, and especially for our families, those we hold dear. In the spirit of the season, 99.5 The Wolf invites you to participate. Uncaged. Unleashed. Unbelievable. You're listening to The Wolf.
One more time, thanks to Pat Garrett. Class act. Very cool for giving the time for the podcast here. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Let's see here. I wrote down a list of the stuff I wanted to talk about at the end here. I'm going to try and move through it quickly because I don't have any interest in wasting a lot of your time, especially if it's something you're not interested in. But there are a few. So, Pat Garrett, thank you. And you can go to RyanOnTheRadio.com, hit the show notes section, and you can get more from Pat there. I actually posted the entire audio collages from 1996, and I featured some of the CHR stuff in the episode, just a little bit of it. There's much more of that. And then he also gave me some 1996 stuff that he produced and voiced for some more Hot AC stuff. So anyway, on the website, you can go grab that. And other links to Pat and his site and whatnot. Some submitted content, had some settings, some more settings. Anytime you want to submit like your reverb settings or a great compression setting, just indicate to me what it's for, or you can just send me a screenshot. But I got a little bit of that there in the show notes for this episode. Also, in fact, I think I'm going to save that for second to last. Upcoming guests, I just wanted to mention that, yes, I'm always working on new guests. I always have at least three or four in the hopper that are aware that I would like to interview them. And it's really just a matter of me saying, okay, it's time, let's do this. I can say I've talked to Ricky Rue in the past. He's a very talented dude up in Minneapolis, St. Paul. If you don't know, already know who he is, a lot of you probably do. But he's also a pretty musical guy. So he is aware I'll be coming to him for an interview in the near future. Maybe next. I'm not sure yet. Another guy that I asked in passing a while back who's doing a lot of really cool things is Steve Sykes. He was an imaging producer at stations, but he's doing some like really current jingle creative. And I want to talk to him. And again, I don't know if he remembers, but I emailed him, so he will be a guest. Jude Corbett is always a guy that I'm looking forward to talking to, and he's been requested, but I've told him, since I know him pretty well now, that he just has to be like my fallback, because at some point somebody will disappear and not be my guest, and if I want to get an episode up. But in all seriousness, Jude's pretty amazing, very talented imaging producer, but now he pretty much focuses 100% on voice, because he's got plenty of work to do that. Second to last is my new website. Now, my current website is adequate. It holds the information. It's viewable. It's translatable into other languages. And I can put pictures and audio on it. It's gotten really cluttered. I'm not a very graphical guy. So if ever I try and do graphics, it usually just becomes like a steaming pile of manure placed onto a LCD screen. So I've commissioned someone to build from scratch, brand new site. It's going to be very clutter free, very easy to use, very web 2.0. But the key thing about it is it's going to be, I guess it's like a WordPress site, but more page based and not post based. But anyway, it's going to be very easy for me to post the episode and then right there by it, the show notes, and they'll be in order. So you won't have to go scrolling down a mile-long page to get to the Dave Fox episode or the Jeff Berlin episode. Everything will be kind of together. But what's even better about the new site is it will be very community based. You know, everything with posts. It's everything's like a forum. So if you go to, for instance, example, you heard the Konski interview, and he mentioned some setting or some plugin, and you want to get more info about it. Of course, you can go to the show notes and take a peek at it because they're posted there, screenshots of that stuff. But if something is confusing, the community around this podcast has gotten big enough that I think you can drop a question there and it will get answered by either me. You know, I'll come by and check it out. Maybe Konski will check it out and be like, yeah, I can answer that for you. Or, Dave Fox came by the site, and I don't know that he'll be by. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. So it'll be very easy to communicate about issues revolving around the episodes. Or if, like, I post a demo and you want to tell me it's absolute crap, you can do that as well. Because anybody can post what they want on the site. You can't use F-words and whatnot. But anyway, it's already built. I've been playing with it. That's what she said. But I'm going to wait until it's perfect, and I know it's perfect, before I actually launch it. So in the near future, I'll let you know about that. Okay, you know what? I've rambled a bit long here. So a new feature that I wanted to add, which I believe I will do more of a write-up in the future, but for now, I just wanted to mention it. Basically, I wanted to do quick little reviews on things that may or may not be useful to us. I've kind of mentioned this in episodes before, but at the end of the episode, from here on out, at least it's my goal, to have a special section where I'll talk about some new little product that I've gotten my hands on, because I'm a nerd and I like all the techie stuff. So something I got recently is the Blue Mikey. Now, you've heard of Blue, the company Blue that makes microphones. They're USB-based. I think that's mostly all they, the only kind of mics they make. They plug in via the USB. I'm not a huge fan. I'll just be honest. I've used them in the past. I'm not a huge fan. I think they sound thin, and they sound a little cheap, a little hollow. But for this purpose, the Blue Mikey is a little, it plugs into your iPhone, and you can turn your iPhone into a professional digital handheld Rode recorder. So I've seen them go for anywhere from probably $200, $250, $300 up to $1,000. And this thing costs like $70, or you can get it less if you buy it used or on some website if you find it. But it, again, so for like $70 or less, you can turn your iPhone into a little digital Rode recorder. The good things about it are it's extremely easy to use. You pay a little extra money and you buy the app that is for the iPhone, and you have like a little mini digital recording studio on your iPhone. And my favorite feature is to get the audio off there, you can FTP it to yourself right there. You set up the settings one time and boom, and it gives you multiple formats that you can send the audio as. Also, you have your iPhone's hard drive as the amount of space. So like right now, I think it tells me I can currently store up to like 15 hours of audio. And I have, I think, like 4,000 songs on there. So anyway, that's a definite advantage. Disadvantage, it doesn't sound that great. It works if you're going to go out and get some artist liners, if you're going to go out and get some liners from, like today I took it to TMS, or Texas Motor Speedway. Not a big NASCAR guy, so I knew Tony Stewart, and there's some guy named Vickers, Biffle, I'd not heard of, Bush, one of the Bush, the older Bush brother was there. So I wanted to get some liners from these guys, and bam, it was so simple. Uploaded it to my website, it was there within seconds. And the audio quality will be good enough to put on the air. It's just not, you know, you're not going to do professional voiceovers with it. So there you go. Blue Mikey, I recommend it. Don't expect perfection. But for the price, I think it's definitely worth it. So there's my first review. And with that, I will bid you adieu. Thank you so much for checking out the episode. Thanks again to Pat Garrett. Thanks again for everybody who submitted content. If you want to submit guest ideas, I would love to have them. RyanOnTheRadio.com has all the contact info. All right, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
The producers. Send your questions, feedback, guest requests, love, and of course, constructive criticism to show at RyanOnTheRadio.com. Episodes available through iTunes, other podcast sites, and RyanOnTheRadio.com. We thank our guests for their expertise and time. We thank you for listening.